We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Thursday, March 20th, and it is indeed March Madness. Everything has kicked off this week. It is honestly one of my favorite times of the year for basketball. It's so fun.
It is. I found myself today, gravitating towards watching the games. Like, normally, I really don't watch a ton of it, the early rounds, other than A&M, if they're in it. But, yeah, I had it on for a little bit this morning, and then I went and practiced, actually, and they had it on all the projection, screens. So I'm kind of in tune. I'm happy to say, after four games, I still have four perfect brackets.
Nice.
Yeah, I did eight brackets, and then I just got sick of it. So eight's where I stopped.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, my name is Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
Yeah, this is Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015.
And we have a couple of special guests on the podcast today. First and foremost, everybody say hi to our friend Joe Boo. He's here today. He has had a cigar. He has had rum. And I think I'm just going to keep force feeding him that because, my God, do we need him.
Baseball has been tough, to say the least. And of the three sports that we're about to talk about, we're probably going to go from worst to best, and the fact that we're starting with baseball is fascinating to me.
Yes. I mean, let's just go ahead and dive into it. I would love your thoughts over the last couple of weeks. We didn't really get a chance to catch up right before the first SEC series we had. Unfortunately, we got held up due to the A&M basketball game going overtime twice against Texas. Unfortunately, not winning that, but I guess all's well that ends well, because Texas didn't even end up making the field of 64, so here we are.
And I'll admit to being guilty to watching that.
Oh, I mean, the hate watching was real. It always is.
Yes, absolutely. So I don't know. I guess we'll start with the positives.
Sure.
And positives from, and I'll say it's plural, because I'm not just going to say starting pitching. I'll say all three of them. So technically, it's plural positives. I think Miles Patton has been an absolute gem to watch. He's really kind of blown me away with how good he's been. He reminds me a bit of Sidney Lessantine over on the softball side, like relatively unknown, didn't know what you were going to get, knew the talent was there kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he has been a dynamite Sunday starter, whereas, we've seen for years, Schloss, Childress, Sunday was always by committee. We had two good pitchers and then a third that was, you run them out there for three innings and then it's bullpen, right?
Right.
So now you have three, I wouldn't say all three of them are elite by any means, but you have three absolutely outstanding starting pitchers that will give you a chance to stay in games. And that's what they've done. And so that's the end of the positives, pretty much. There's obviously been some disappointing performances out of the bullpen, which is unfortunate. There's been some interesting calls relative to the bullpen, leaving people in, taking people out, maybe the timing being not what I would maybe consider. And it's obviously it's always easy in hindsight, right, to look at these decisions.
Of course.
But I'm sure they're going off of metrics and a little bit of feel, and I get that. But it just seems like almost every button they push is the wrong one. Because I don't care that we run Rural Prairie View. I don't give a shit. Like, these midweek games, the only thing that can come from them, from a fan perspective, is bad by losing them.
Right.
I mean, great. Like, it's nice to see. Like, it's a feel good moment that you run Rural Sony in baseball, but it really has no effect on the season. Like, it's nobody's going to look at that and be like, oh my gosh, you see what A&M did to Prairie View on Tuesday? Nobody's going to give a shit about that.
No.
Like, we're at the part of the season now, the weekends are all that matters.
You're right. I mean, you do take care of your business against Prairie View, and you did the same against Corpus. Granted, not without a little bit of issues there at the start of the game, but regardless, and I mean, I know it's a little off topic, but my God, that catch.
Oh, right.
I mean, if that's not like a good indicator of how this season has kind of been at times, it's like you're in a grand slam situation and this guy makes one of the most incredible catches you'll ever see at our ballpark. I mean, it was wild. But yeah, I mean, we are very much in the meat of the season at this point. You are where the games matter. And unfortunately, you open your run in the SEC at home and lose three straight to a good Alabama team, but an Alabama team that hypothetically, based on your roster, you should beat.
Well, and I was really impressed with Alabama. I will say that
Yeah.
their lineup reminds me a little bit of Tennessee's from last year. Like, there's just nowhere to escape with that lineup. I mean, they may not sustain it all year. There may be some guys that come back to kind of their regular career mean, but man, I was impressed with Alabama. They can hit the ball. And then their Sunday pitcher goes out and we make him look like Cy Young.
Yeah.
Our hitting is atrocious. Our approach at the plate is atrocious. And I can't deal with hearing about exit velocities anymore. I don't care how hard we're hitting the ball. I really don't. Like, this situational hitting, the approach at the plate, like, there's I can't find, like, hey, and tell me if I'm wrong. Like, is there a positive at the plate right now? Barrett Harrison hit two home runs, whoopee, again against Prairie View. When you're going against pitching that matters, and again, what we're talking about is weekend series, and that was even New Mexico State, like those. The non-con weekend series, you go through those, then you also look at the SEC that were coming up. Where are the bats, man? Just absolutely, where in the hell are the bats? This team has magically regressed at the plate when the head coach that they asked for and wanted, and what I would guess for is pushed for, was the hitting coach before he left.
And I made a good point on that on Twitter earlier this week for anybody who saw that post. Basically, he was, I guess it was his, was it the Monday or the Tuesday, whatever his interview he had on Texags, and they were asking me, he's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, we're just not finding the way to hit. It's like, we need to hit. I'm like, dude. Now, literally, I quoted that and said, you're the hitting coach, buddy. And that spun a bit of, that got a lot of likes and that got a lot of people in the comments that weren't really thrilled about that assessment. But not to mention one that got deleted from Michael Barish, who I still love to death. And, but, he commented before he deleted. And his post was like, well, he's the head coach now. That's not really his wheelhouse. And at some point, the players need to be, they need to be able to execute. I'm like, I understand that, but at the end of the day, the dude specializes in hitting. I mean, it's no different than if you look at Rob Childress when he was the
I was
coach
about to
here.
say RC, he's a pitching guy.
Rob's a pitching guy, and he regularly had good pitchers. Now, did he always make the best decision on pulling and leaving somebody in? Absolutely
Please
not.
don't open those wounds. Please
We
don't
don't
do that.
have to open those wounds, but at the same time, if you look and see what's happened, it's impressive how much our bats have regressed in games that matter. And so you have to ask yourself these questions. What can these guys do to get better? I think obviously number one, as you just mentioned, it's going to be have to be the approach at the plate. You have to go in there with the mindset of taking your time with your at bats. And in particular, you need to work up those counts, get the pitches you want. And I mean, some placement hitting. Lean on those bunts if you have to create and generate some offense. Allow them to start making those mistakes where you can punish them for being able to hit the long ball. That's what you want to do. That's what this team obviously is built for. But you have to adjust when you're just hacking away at times. It's just not going to get there, unfortunately.
I've seen, and look, I'm by no means sitting here and putting all the onus on Michael Early.
No.
This is the world of NIL, all right? And we ponied up to keep some of these kids on this roster, and it's about time they do what they were literally. This is your job, all right? Let's quit acting like we care if you go to class, all right? This is the NIL era. You're getting paid to play baseball, and you're
They
getting
are.
paid to play at the level that we expect out of you because we've seen out of you. So at no point, like, should anybody misinterpret me, I think the players are wildly to blame as well. Like,
Absolutely. I don't
I'm
disagree.
not sitting here trying to crap all over everything, but dude, we're the fastest team to ever drop from number one to out of the rankings. It doesn't feel like there's any identity. The seniority doesn't seem to be taking, like, stepping up and taking lead and trying to get this team to define itself. And unfortunately, some of the press conferences I've heard from Michael Early, he seems shell-shocked. Like, there's some of them are tough to listen to. So it's a combination of everything. This is not all on Michael Early. These guys know how to swing, they know how to hit, and they're not what? Hold on. They know how to field. It's
Yes.
like the errors have been disgusting to me. Like I look, we're every once in a while you're gonna have a bad game, right? Boot the ball around the field, got three errors, right? But to get what was it, six or however many errors we had, like it was the announcers were talking about us going six straight games without an error, like we were setting Ted Williams records, or like we were about to break Cal Ripken's record for consecutive games played. Like, congratulations, you played six straight games of error-free baseball. That's what we expect from you.
Exactly. It is an expectation, right? When you have the level of skill that these players have and the expectations of the players, we expect you guys to go out there and do your job every game if you can. I understand not everybody's going to have a perfect game, but just seeing the consistent struggle across the lineup, that's the thing that is just wild to me. And it does leave me a little baffled. I mean, you and I preseason, what were we talking about? We were talking about, how few non-con games you were going to lose. Who's going to be hitting the home run records for this school? Like, what was that all going to look like? And hypothetically, if we're talking pure off skill, what we've seen out of these guys, it could happen. But what on earth has happened to the team? Is it just not necessarily trickling down from the coaches? Or is there a lack of effort coming from the other side, with the players? Is there issues within development? I don't know.
The defensive stuff is frustrating because it feels like it's a lack of concentration. If it's a lack of concentration, is it a confidence issue or is it an overconfidence issue? Did they sit around and tell themselves that they were number one? There's a million different ways to look at this, and it's all of it's frustrating, and nobody's going to have an answer until they figure it out. All we know right now is that the starting pitching has been so fun to watch.
They've been
And
outstanding.
quite frankly, specifically Miles Patton, to see him really kind of bloom, like come out of his shell and show us like that's going to be our Friday starter at some point, right?
He
Like
looks great. Yeah.
that's how good he's pitching. And I know that, like, I get that when it's Jay Stu and Grechovic's out for the year, and Sorel, just that injury seems mind-boggling to me because I'm starting to wonder if it's a season-ending injury kind of thing.
Yeah.
And when you take that kind of production, both on the mound and, at the plate and in the field, I might add, and you
Yeah.
take that away, we're not the team that everybody predicted to be number one. But the guys remaining from that roster,
Yeah.
I mean, we have nine losses and we've only played one SEC series.
I think I predicted like nine preseason or like somewhere along those lines. It's
You predicted 12 losses total, so three of those would be non-conference.
Yeah, nine
I
SECs.
predicted we both predicted nine losses in conference. Well, but I said they were going to win. I said they weren't going to lose non-conference, so they have to win out to hit my record. So if they could go ahead and start with tonight, that'd be great.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you have an opportunity to try to right the ship, right? I mean, you're on the road. This is your first true road series at Vanderbilt, right?
Maybe that
And,
helps.
like I said, and maybe this is kind of the reset the guys needed. Maybe they found a little bit of confidence on Tuesday against Corpus. I don't know. But regardless, what we need to see out of this team is a step up in leadership, not just from the coaching staff, but from our seasoned guys. They need to go in here and set an example of what this team should be and what they're capable of. Because you and I both know, as does this entire fan base, we all understand what these guys are capable of. It's about time they started showing it.
Yeah, and maybe going on the road and playing a Thursday to Saturday series and just kind of a little funkiness, and I don't know, man. I need some seniors and I need some big production guys to step up, and I mean vocally. Like this team needs to find its identity and they need to do it quickly. And if they do that this weekend, all will not be forgotten, but the outlook will be a lot different because right now I'm failing to find enough wins to get to a regional.
Right. I mean, that's just where we're at. And the road doesn't get any easier from here. So you're going to have to step up.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, we
just
are definitely
that's a fact of
lacking.
life. But enough of the negativity. Let's move on to, I guess, next would be basketball.
Yeah, next will be basketball. So yes, because we missed out being able to talk about it, but we'll just touch, disappointing to go in and lose to the Sips in the conference tourney, but In the grand scheme of things, it really didn't matter. I think it was our form really over the last seven games, plus losing in the tourney. I don't think that one standalone loss had anything to do with us bumping off the three line. But so the Sips end up getting in probably based off that win. I mean, I'm sure that was a big help, but they got to the play-in game and then they lost, so they're not in anymore anyways. But tonight, kind of, it starts tonight, man, and it's. I love the fact that Yale is the darling pick of the media,
Right.
because when everybody picks us, I always get a little antsy. And so, we out-talent Yale from top to bottom. All right, we're a little bit bigger than they are. All right, well, we're a lot bigger than they
A
are.
lot bigger than they are. They've got one guy over 6'7" on the entire roster. I mean,
Their metrics are interesting. They don't play like a real pretty style of play, but their offensive efficiency is one of, like, it's fantastic. But they don't play a real pretty game. Look, if we are aggressive and we rebound the ball, this should not be close. I think we opened at 7.5. Like, I'd probably take this game at 9.5 or 10.5. I really would. I think there's been too much of the media, kind of kissing Yale's butt a little bit. I mean, they do have two shooters, don't get me wrong,
right.
but I just don't see that. So I see us getting through most of my brackets. In fact, all of my brackets I have is getting to the second weekend.
Right.
From there, it's a crapshoot. But for now, it's Yale tonight, and then on Saturday it'll be either Michigan or UC San Diego, and so. But neither of those matter if you don't get past Yale. But I'm pretty confident with Yale. I've got them going to this Sweet 16 for the most part. I had a couple brackets with Elite Eight. I had one like maroon colored glasses going, winning the national championship.
I mean, you gotta throw one in there, right?
You
You
have
never
to,
know.
right?
Yeah, you never know.
You're nagging. If you get more than one bracket, then you fill that out. I mean, the road starts tonight, man. And March Madness is such a great and fun time of year. And I'm really looking forward to watching the game tonight. It's, I was listening to the radio earlier this week. I think it was Logan Lee was talking about it. It's not like at the front of their minds, obviously, because he was talking to Louis about this. It's not at the front of their minds because it would almost make them unable to function. But a lot of these guys, because we've watched this team for basically 4 years, these guys are stuck around.
Right.
And so this could be the last game. This could be my last shot, like little shot. Like, this could be my last 3-pointer attempt. And so there's an urgency that they understand. I hope that urgency doesn't overtake their decision making, right?
Right. I mean, play your game, and honestly, what do we live on? We live on rebounds, and we live on being able to
Awesome.
get, well, and work it underneath, because I mean we can do that and we ought to. And against a team like this, I mean we can out physical them, so long as we're not getting some kind of, officiating team that's going to be like calling every single little thing. I really don't see this game getting ground down too much. I mean this team should go out there and do their job.
Merrell Payne should have a double double tonight. And I'm talking over 20 points, double double.
Yeah.
Period. And Ferrell Payne should be the star of this game, quite frankly. Like, he, I, you know, I hope he's hydrated, hope he's well rested, because he needs to be on the court as long as he's not in foul trouble.
Right. So we'll see how they pull it off, and then obviously looking ahead to that next matchup, assuming we do our job tonight. I mean, you do have a particularly interesting matchup with either Michigan and honestly UC San Diego. Anytime you get one of those lower seeds, if they sneak through, that can certainly raise an eyebrow or two, because it's all about the hot hand at the right time in these tournaments.
Well, I'd love for him to sneak through, because you just always want to play the lower seeded team, period.
True.
Michigan plays ugly basketball though, so
Right.
I feel like that can play in our favor. I'll be frank, I just don't know much about UC San Diego. I mean, I don't have any sort of scouting report on UC San Diego, mostly because I don't think about it, because I'm not going to scout both teams. I've got time, to think about it, but. I like our chances. Like I said, I've got us going to the second weekend in every single one of my brackets. So. It doesn't matter whether it's Michigan or UC San Diego. I've got us getting through, to the Sweet 16.
All right, so we'll be keeping an eye on March Madness and see how the rest of this bracket kind of plays out.
It's so great, man. When I was practicing, what was it, Auburn and Alabama State, I think.
Yeah.
And before Auburn kind of went on a little run to end the first half, that was a tight game.
It was.
I was watching a game, or the game I was watching earlier, I can't remember. But you're looking at the Wisconsin, I think it was like Montana State, and
Montana.
Montana, they had it within like three at one point. But that is one thing though, like the underdogs getting hot hands are great, but there is still a talent discrepancy when you're talking about Wisconsin and Montana, right?
Right. I mean, there's always going to be. So, oh, goodness gracious. We'll definitely keep an eye on the rest of these matchups, see if there's any big upsets, and I'm sure we'll chat about them next
Yeah,
week.
there has to be,
Yeah,
right?
there'll be some good ones for sure.
He's not just gonna go stone chalk.
Yeah.
That would be the worst tournament in the history.
Yeah.
Clemson looking like they were struggling, and they're against the Cowboys, McNeese State.
They're
I don't know
still
how that
struggling.
is. Are they still playing? Yeah, they're still struggling.
It's
Yeah, they
a
had
hit.
that
It's
bowling alley.
as of this recording, with 4 minutes to go in the second half, it's 57-45 Cowboys.
Interesting.
Yep, they're well, Clemson's had a significantly better second half, but McNeese is continuing to hold pace, and I think they'll pull off this win.
Yeah, Clemson should win, but
Well, no.
oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, McNeese, yeah.
McNeese. At this stage, I would say McNeese has largely got it in hand right now. Like I said, Clemson's kind of creeping back into it, but we'll see
Yeah.
how these next couple minutes go. We'll eyeball it while we're
You
on.
know what? One of my favorite things about March Madness also is how they layer the game time starts.
Yes.
So you don't have two games going off right at this time. So they layered. So like this one's going to the half, and this one's maybe like 5 minutes in. It's 15 minutes left in the first half. So if you're a complete sicko, you can basically start from the first tip off of the day and watch nothing but basketball until the final whistle of the final game.
Exactly. It's a beautiful thing.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
All right. Let's go ahead and pivot on over to softball real quick. We didn't get a chance to talk last week about the Florida series, which was a great series.
Oh, such a good series. Number three team in the country. What a way to open up your season, your conference season at home. Couple of tough losses. But again, Florida's number, I mean, Florida's good. It's softball, but Florida's got a fantastic team this year. So fell a little short, unfortunately, but didn't get swept. You couldn't hold serve at home, but you didn't get swept. But then the next series, you go on the road to a top 25 team in Auburn and you sweep them and you do it convincingly, I might add. And
Right.
that was the one thing about Florida is those were competitive, good softball games,
They were.
right?
I mean, you lose. I mean, you win that first game at Auburn, and yeah, it's an extra inning. You had to kind of dig deep
Slug it out.
to slug it out and win that game. But I think that was like the reset in the head, right? You've reset. You know what you're going to do, and you took care of business the next day, and then shut them out in game three. You only score three runs, but when you pitch a zero, it's always nice to see from the softball side.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who it is. But yeah, I thought it was a great bounce back, quite frankly, just coming off of losing that series against Florida. And I mean, you have one game where Florida just kind of ran out of the building with it, but to fight back and just break, lose that Sunday game was kind of a heartbreaker, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
But to bounce back, you don't have any midweek games, so you bounce back, go on the road to Auburn. And you win three, one of them being a run rule, like you said, a shutout on Sunday. And then, starting this weekend, you got another top 25 matchup. It's at home. You got Alabama. So you've knocked out the state of Alabama by the time we hit Sunday night. I would be surprised if I'll be surprised if they don't sweep Alabama. I think they've got some momentum. They're playing well. They've been in situations now against a good Florida team, and they do have a little bit of experience with the Florida State games from the Clearwater Classic.
Right.
But you went on the road to Auburn, who again is another top 25 team. They were 22 when we played them, and so it's also the coaching staff knowing they're getting more experience situationally. You know, when this is happening, I know I can rely on this person, or now we have these options that maybe we didn't have before. And the best part is, and it sucks for some of the players, but there are so many quality players on that squad. Her depth is amazing. Like there's she's having to do everything she can to get these kids like on the field and playing because so many people are playing so well right now. Like it, oh man, it's a ton of fun to watch right now. It really is. I cannot wait for the series this weekend.
And you got Al, I mean, Al Alabama, who's now coming off of a losing weekend against Mississippi State, and then proceeded to lose to Florida State on a Tuesday night. Mind you, that same Florida State team we took care of business against at their house. So, expectations for the ladies, you got to go in
Well,
there and I would say win the series at minimum, but yeah, go for that sweep.
and I'll say, Mississippi State, they're third in conference. I mean, it's not like they're bad.
No, not at
They're
all.
5-5-1. They're behind OU. It goes OU, LSU. LSU's only played one series, so they're only 3-0. But OU's 6-0. Mississippi State's 5-1, and we're 4-2. And then the next two behind us are the Sips and Tennessee, and they both only played one series as well. So things will tighten up and move a little bit just because we all haven't played the same numbers. It's weird to me that there would be a bye week in the first week or like a non-conference week. That's really weird to me. But you got Alabama at home, and then you've got two midweek games. You got Sam Houston, North Texas. I like putting a little pressure on like that. Let's cram in two midweek games. And then we actually we'll go out of conference the following weekend. I might go to that Friday night game. It's Military Appreciation Night, so.
LMU coming in.
Yeah. So they're set up great right now. To be able to host Alabama, get the Davis Diamond, get Davis fired up and rowdy, which I'm sure they will be. Weather hopefully will be nice for the weekend. Top 25 matchup. It should be packed. Alabama softball travels well too, so it should be
Always.
a great environment. I believe one of the games is actually on the SEC Network. A great opportunity to showcase Davis Diamond to the world too. Kind of one of those things. But yeah, I just softball has been the bright spot. And I understand that basketball is in the tournament and they're a four seed, and that's obviously an amazing accomplishment relative to the history of our program. They stumbled down the stretch. They should have been a three. They could have flirted with a two. So a little disappointing down the stretch. But you do beat Auburn, you beat LSU, drop the SEC tournament game, so be it. I just hope that their heads are in the right space going into tonight, which there's no indication they wouldn't be. That's
No
kind of
indications. So we'll definitely see what happens there. While we're waiting for our next guest to join us here in a minute, we did have a couple of questions that got floated to us. Not this week, but some that we had backlogged that I kind of wanted to touch on.
sure.
One was from our buddy Tyler Mount. One which we've already kind of talked about, but he asked, what's going on with the offense for baseball? Could it be poor approach or just trying to do too much? I mean,
I think it was kind of some poor approaches early in the season, and now because of the results being as poor as they have been, now they're pressing. And when you press, you make it way, 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 way worse.
right.
That's in every sport. It's like, God, I'm trying to think of it like an analogy for another one. You're not making three pointers, so you keep jacking them up instead of driving to the rim. I
Right.
mean, we're driving to the rim and getting fouled and getting an and one. We'll get your mind right and get you in a better rhythm. You're continuing to jack them up from the logo. In football, it would be you throwing two picks, so or you threw a pick six and now you're down and it's late and you're going to try and squeeze it into a window where you really shouldn't squeeze it into.
Gotcha.
And the success of that, were you to squeeze it through the window, it would be a spectacular play and probably win. But the overall odds state that you're gonna either throw an incompletion or throw an interception and completely end your chance in the game.
Right.
And so like just analogy wise, that's the best I can give you. I thought it was I didn't like the approach early in the season. And now I guarantee you they're looking at their own averages, going, man, I gotta do something here. And the power guys are going, man, I got one homer. What am I doing? Now they're swinging for the fences, getting underneath balls. So it's they're not thinking about it, it's, and I wish college baseball would get rid of the shift just like the pros did. I wish they would. And so, or you can shift, but you have to play on the dirt kind of thing.
Exactly.
But these guys are all talented enough. Like, hit the ball the other way. Like, just quit trying to hit it over the fence every single time.
Get on base.
Just get on base
Get on base.
and pass the bat to the guy behind you and let him get on base and so on and so on and do the Bugs Bunny thing, put up crooked numbers. And it's just, yeah, so that would be my answer. I don't know if you got anything else outside of Joe Booth.
I mean, Joe Boo can only do so much on his end. I mean, I love him. I love him to death, but at some point, it's got to be a you, Joe Boo. I do it myself. You have to do it.
Have we tried the hats for bats yet?
We got to keep them warm, man. I got to go find something. I do have at least a couple of club head covers we could possibly throw on. We'll see what we can do with that.
Should go buy a ton of cheap ones and just like drop them off at the front of the base, like the baseball facility. Be like,
Up it.
here, hats for bats.
Yes, hats for bats. Second question he had for us. That was so I saw a report, and we've partially discussed this, I think off screen, but said I saw a report that Buzz Williams may be talking with other schools. Have you heard this? Do you think any of that is credible at this stage? Granted, this was a couple of weeks ago, but
I think it's 100%. Well, I think it's 100% credible that there are schools maybe looking at him, and he's on some lists. The one that everybody was talking about was Indiana. I believe Indiana filled their position,
they did.
so he might be on some lists, but he doesn't strike me as like a schloss.
Right.
I feel like he would almost be like Will Wade was with NC State. They're like, have you been talking to NC State? He's like, yep. Yeah, I've been talking to the Wolfpack. Yep. Just thinking about going over there. So, for as many faults as Will Wade has, I thought that was fantastic. Because, right, so how are you going to do that to your team on the eve of, on the eve of, being in the tournament? What are you talking about, man? Like, stop with this loyalty crap. The players are paid. All right. These players do the same crap with the portal now. So, I mean, could he have addressed it a little bit? Could it have been more nuanced? Maybe would be a nice way to put it.
Sure.
So maybe he needs a little PR training, but I have no problem with it.
Right.
Bro, this is a shark business, man. Kill or be killed. That's it. That's all this the college sports have come down to. And what's interesting is that should lead us into our next guest, but she just dropped back off, so I'm not sure what's going on here.
She was muting herself. Say hello, Jonna.
You're
I
on
think you're.
mute. There you go.
Hey guys, longtime listener, first time caller. Psyched
Ay-yi-yi.
to be with
You had
you.
that one teed up for like a month, didn't you?
Maybe a little. It's a
Right.
very full circle moment for me, okay? I've been trying to do this for like what, 4 years?
Okay. So go ahead and
Wow.
introduce yourself, your class year,
One.
all that fun stuff. What do you do?
Cool. My name's Jonna Lee. I am a doctoral student in the College of Education here at Texas A&M. I am originally class of 18, even though I'm an overachiever and actually graduated in 17. Because I'm a nerd. Got my master's from SFA in 2020. Yeah, that 2020.
Oh,
And
Jax.
then I'm hopefully going to graduate with this degree in 2028. So
Rock
that's the
and
educational pedigree, if you will.
roll. So good to
What's
have
the purpose
Dylan.
of the PhD? That's probably what you need to explain to everyone before we get into what we're going to talk about.
Totally fair. So when I came into this degree, I was super duper convinced that I was going to be a vice president of student affairs. And while that is not completely out of the question, I've accidentally fallen in love with college sports policy, specifically NIL, rev share, in this crazy, crazy world that we are now living in. So, yeah.
Gotcha. That's good stuff. And we'll definitely dive into a little bit of discussion on that here in a minute. I did have one more question, Roy, that came from Maroonish, one of our
Oh,
friends on Twitter.
yeah.
She asked, if you haven't already, talk about these people who cl are clearly new to baseball, thinking the season is over and wanting Early's head already. There needs to be a test before anyone's allowed to talk baseball online. Most of Aggies Today community would fail miserably. I think she was poking specifically at that group.
Yeah, well, I will say You're not alone. Aggie basketball fans feel the same way. Aggie softball fans feel the same way. Although it seems like when our fan base like gravitates towards softball, if they're doing really well, they're in the Supers or Oklahoma City, it feels like they're nice and they don't question things. I don't know. It's like they're like, yeah, we're just gonna support the team. And normally it's a lot of questions about rules because softball has kind of some funky rules. We're like, I don't understand. Wait, hold on. But yeah. Baseball is a sport that honestly, even if at a little league level, I feel like you have to have played to understand some of the nuances of it.
Right.
And there are opinions about baseball that are, if you stepped back and you weren't like a diehard baseball guy and you understood like kind of, you watch baseball and your dad took you to games kind of thing. Some of the questions you could validate from a naive standpoint, right? Like, why aren't we bunting here? Or why did we just bunt in that situation? That's so stupid. Like, you understand why the questions come, but those same people are now getting on message boards and getting in communities and like hammering on things that they clearly like know very little to nothing about. And
Right.
I'm not picking on anybody specific. I mean, for the most part, it's on game threads, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Game threads are just like it's just everybody goes nuclear for no reason.
Right.
If you ever need entertainment, go on a baseball or basketball game thread, which is fascinating because basketball, it's crazy because people get completely out of control, but the pace of the game is so different. Baseball, like, you got about 5 minutes from batter to batter, man. So you've got all kinds of room for these people to spew their stupid opinions out of their suck holes.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other side of that, what we've seen out of especially a lot of these community posts, and this is something obviously I don't endorse, but the people who are out here actively criticizing people and like trying to go after family members, trying to go after that crap, I'm like, go ahead and bury all that. That's really stupid. Don't do this. I understand that these kids, yes, and call them kids, whatever, they are getting paid for this game. We do expect a certain level of accomplishment out of them when they're on the field. But I mean, leave it to just getting after them and trying to encourage what they do. I mean, you saw, what was it? Was it Shane Sadeo, what he posted? And a lot of people are coming back saying, well, are we allowed to go ahead and poke, get after him now? I'm like, well, here's the deal. You can always criticize somebody for their play in terms of wanting to do it constructively and see them grow from it, right? I mean, that's what we like to see, but at the end of the day, leave the personal stuff at home. You don't need to bring that out.
Never need for personal attacks, quite frankly.
Can I actually jump in on this? Because this has also been on my brain too, as I've watched some of this unfold on social media. Because I've seen all this, oh, they're getting paid now, they're getting paid now. And I'm like, that's great. I love that. Happy to see that. However, student athletes getting paid doesn't give the fan base a right to be assholes.
Well,
I'm sorry.
you don't have a right to be an asshole to JJ Watt, quite frankly. I mean, you have every right to because you can post whatever you want to. But the reality
Fair.
is where this has changed is because we live in the NIL world now and about to go into revenue sharing, where it used to be, and this was true, kids are off limits. Kids are off limits. They're scholarship, they're student athletes. We said earlier before you came on, nobody cares if a baseball player goes to class. Nobody cares. Like, nobody cares anymore because you're getting paid, but this goes two directions. You're getting paid, so now you do get to get individual blame. If I say, wow, Jace going 0 for 3 and chasing three straight curveballs was one of the worst at bats I've seen probably in his career, that's a factual statement. I'm not saying you suck and you're no good or like, please transfer or going, your mom's dumb. It's not that, but we can hold their feet to the fire, all right? Because it used to be the kids were absolutely off limits. That's just how it was. Like, you blame the coaches. You can blame the administration for hiring the coaches, but it was real tacky to pick on players. And I still think that the rational people, like, I would never say something like that. Like, I would never make a post about that. But I think the rational people can still criticize without doing something like, I think there's plenty of people out there that understand. They're like, wow, this baseball team is really, they're playing poorly. I hope they get better. I know they're talented, but right now they're in shit form. There's
Right.
nothing wrong with making that a post on social media at
Right, and
all.
I totally get that. And like that's not as much as what I was saying, because you've got people like Brandon Montgomery's mama, who's been a prime example of that, going, hey, bats don't look good right now. I was saying it more in the context of like some of the threats, some of the nastier side that has been surfacing from our fan base.
Well,
It's a little gross.
that's always been that way though when it comes to stuff like as soon as they made the internet, that was it, like for stuff like that, quite frankly. Like the anonymity of the internet and message boards and comment boards and the different social media apps will always make it to where the bad people, and they end up getting amplified. And the worst part is half of their amplification comes from people who think the exact same. They just don't know how to make a good burner account.
Exactly.
So what
So,
we learned today, kids, is have a good burner. Thank
yes.
you. Thanks and gigs.
Yeah,
Yeah,
everybody
learning.
have a good burner buried somewhere. Oh, Lord knows I do. Anyway,
I do.
granted, it's mostly just poking fun at other fan bases after losses, but that's typically where I leave it. I'm not actually going after any of our guys. But bringing it all back around, we have a point of discussion that we wanted to bring Jonna on for. Will we introduce that?
Me or her?
I don't care, one of the two of you.
Well, so once, so you talked about wanting to do, at one point you wanted to be, vice president of student affairs, that kind of stuff. And at one point, I know you and I talked, you wanted to be a president of university.
Still an option. You never know.
Right. Yeah. But I think your path to get there has changed, right?
Yeah.
As you're studying. So can you tell us a little bit about, excuse me, about your thesis? And like kind of the direction of the direction of your focus, and try and keep it brief, right? So we can generate some questions based off of it. But
Sure.
tell us kind of the direction of your thesis, why you think it's important, and how you think like it can be beneficial.
Sure. So, my dissertation's kind of a weird one, I think. The way I'm handling this whole coming into the college sports world, I'm looking at the academic side effects of NIL and revenue sharing. So you mentioned earlier how baseball players aren't going to class anymore and how no one cares about that. Well, technically, our institutions still kind of do a little bit. And so seeing how NIL is changing this game as far as a student athlete actually getting their degree is concerned. I think it was Trev Alberts in an interview on TxACS a couple weeks back was talking about how the best thing a student athlete can do during their time at A&M is the fact that they're getting a degree here.
Right.
I'm really interested in that. I'm interested in post-grad outcomes. So in this example, specifically with football, of if athletes are using their full eligibility in the age of NIL, for some of those kids who may be a third, fourth, fifth round draft, somewhere kind of lower on the stack a little bit, if they're maybe taking that extra year to come back and be like, hey, let's play another round. Let's run it back. I don't think it's going to change the game for people like Manziel, Von Miller, Myles Garrett, some of those greats.
Sure.
But I do think it has a case for people who may have been lower on that draft order. So that's what I'm interested in is eligibility. I'm interested in compliance. Basically, I'm a nerd. That's kind of the root of this. But I get to be a college sports nerd, which is incredible. So I'm pretty lucky.
Well, I think the reality is while you have to have people like we'll just stay right here, in town, Trev Alberts. You have to have
Yeah.
guys that have a different perception of this, but they also understand that their job is a lot of connections. It's, they're not the ones, they're not the 12-man foundation. They're not making phone calls and raising money. They're pushing, they're shaping whatever policy within their university they can within compliance rules.
Yeah.
What I do find hilarious, is the timing of you doing this is when literally things are still changing at such a truly largely altering rate, like the revenue sharing stuff. We laughed about that when the revenue sharing stuff came down. All these lawsuits are still in play.
Yep.
But my question is, so you had the opportunity to sit down with one of our assistant ADs, correct?
I did.
Now, can you share
Great
anything
dude.
from that? And obviously, we don't want to talk anything A&M specific because each school has their own thing. Number, I don't want numbers. I don't want anything like that because that's letting the enemy know, kind of what we're
Right.
doing.
And And I also want to make sure I'm protecting the folks who I get to have these conversations with, just because that was a closed door conversation. So to an extent, I'm going to keep some of that closed. However, what I can say is I feel really freaking good about where A&M is headed. I think this playful ideal that we just signed earlier, I want to say it was earlier this month, is fabulous. Like, what an incredible way to position ourselves as we're going into this revenue sharing world. I mean, April 8th is going to change the future of college athletics profoundly. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, because you're introducing scholar or not scholarship caps, roster caps on your sports. You're introducing all this insane amount of legislation that's gonna basically take effect July 1, and then it's off to the races, boys. Like, wow. The biggest thing I got from that conversation is A&M's positioned well. I have a lot of faith in where our athletics is headed. I think Trev Alberts has an incredible head on his shoulders, and the way that he has been navigating a lot of this is just really, really, really solid, in my opinion, because it's a lot to make sense of in a world that is consistently changing it basically by the day at this point. Like, let's be honest, because what we thought about rev share and NIL a year ago is not entirely true today. And I mean, there's still some people who think that NIL means that institutions can pay players. That's not accurate. Just if anyone's listening and who actually thinks that, that's not true. But rev share does. So that's a really long-winded answer. I apologize,
No,
guys.
I think the thing for me is just kind of seeing the Wild West-ness of what this has
Yeah.
been kind of being reined in is very good, I think, for the long-term
Yes.
stability of the sport. Because
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
the fact that we saw, I mean, the numbers from last year, I mean, or even the year before, I mean,
Right.
what we had, Brock Purdy was a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, making less money than well, I guess Arch Manning was making on the bench at Texas. On the bench, that's an insane number to me. If you go look that
Yeah.
up if you haven't had a chance to check it. But just seeing the
It's
fact that
wild.
we can kind of rein everything in, get it more regulated, and I think that'll just end up being, I think, truly, I think that'll be a lot better for the sport as a whole.
100%. I think the NCAA is kind of having to respond to this house settlement how we probably should have responded to NIL a couple of years back. Because, like, if you look at what they're now implementing and what they're trying to do governance-wise, I think it's a lot better than just basically telling colleges, "Hey, this is now a thing. Good luck." And colleges were like, "Okay, what do we do with that?"
Well, so, from a cynic point of view, though, you just said, I think the NCAA, like, they're the most worthless governing institution I've on the globe.
I mean, you're
Now,
not
a couple
wrong.
of South American administrations, the completely corrupt administrations, pretty much the NCAA. It's like, Guatemala, El Salvador, NCAA. Like, that's where we're at, right? Like,
Hey,
for just,
don't leave Nicaragua out of this.
yeah, Nicaragua. Yeah.
Boys, boys, boys.
But it's, like, and that's where I think that a lot of people are gonna be like, yeah, that's great. So we're gonna bring the NCAA back in, and they're doing it right this time, I promise. And so I think that's where you're getting a lot of the pushback. My question is going into revenue sharing, and I know that there are a ton of advantages to it, but let's be realistic. There are going to be a lot of sports programs cut across the nation at universities because
Oh
they
yeah.
can't afford it.
Right.
Yeah. 100%. I think we
So.
saw a case with that with Sonoma State, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the first that's come out and said, like, "Hey, we're thinking about getting rid of our entire athletics department because of this." It's happening already, guys. It's not
Well,
great.
yeah, but you just said Sonoma State, and like, unless they're in like competitive winemaking, I don't think it matters. But when we're talking
Okay, that's fair. Also, competitive
about these,
winemaking, sign me up. Sold.
well, when we're in these, well, that's basically what the wine industry is. It's competitive winemaking. It's just a really slow competition. So I think where I run into the issues is when you're talking about larger institutions. It may, well, maybe not like, the Power Fours, but you're talking about the G5s, right? Now you're talking about needing to cut sports, but you still have to have compliance with Title IX. So do you see this at some point having any sort of implications as to Title IX as a policy as a whole? Like, we can afford these programs, or otherwise we'll have to cut this one too to stay in compliance with Title IX.
I think Title IX is absolutely coming into a play with a lot of this. If you look, there was a I don't know if it was the Department of Education, maybe, that had put out something of a reminder of like, hey, Title IX comes into NIL too. Like, make sure you're staying compliant with equal opportunities for your female athletes and your male athletes. At A&M specifically, I don't think we're going to see an issue with cutting sports. I really don't. I think A&M's positioned really well. At other institutions, I could absolutely see it being an issue of them having to balance out and go, okay, if we get rid of this one, we've got to get rid of this one too. You know, I wouldn't envy some of the athletic directors at some smaller institutions, not by
Well,
any.
that's why I was really focused on more Group of Five stuff. And what I really said, I know Title IX will be a part of it. What I'm saying is Title IX legislation going to be on the block? Because now you're like, and I understand why Title IX exists. Trust me, I get it. But when you have some of these universities that are mid-range universities are having to make these crucial financial decisions, they're going to maintain an athletic department, but they've got to cut some programs, but the numbers don't work in certain ways. Is Title IX going to force them to cut a men's program instead of a women's program, which in theory is completely against Title IX? Because Title IX isn't necessarily about women. What it has morphed into is equality. It's equality in a way, right? It's equal.
Equal
That's what Title IX
opportunity.
really comes down to. Now, in the beginning, it was like it was focused on women's sports, and we had to, we needed to get these programs going and get them built up, and it still has to do with the dollar amount, but. Baseball and softball aren't the same dollar amount. Women's basketball and men's basketball aren't the same dollar amount. So when you're talking about this revenue sharing, and that has a lot to do with where the revenue is coming from and who's watching what sports, if they're going to break it down in a model just kind of like that, will this have an unintended backwards effect on some programs? And again, I'm talking Group of Five, mid-range, lower tier, Division One, though.
So your SFAs, your Sam Houstons, things in that neighborhood. Honestly, I don't know that Title IX is going to be on the block per se, but I could definitely see there being a lot of question marks about how it's being implemented, and if smaller schools are staying in compliance of that.
Yeah, I don't mean stopping block. I mean revisions of Title IX, like congressional revisions of Title IX, forced the hand being forced by really not the NCAA, but these conference commissioners that are having to make these decisions.
I don't know, but I could see it. I could see it happening.
Well, and the other thing, we've talked about it before, but the idea of maybe even sectioning off, this Power Four, maybe the top 64 teams, and kind of sectioning them even above what we would consider D1 into their own little category, just because we understand that there is a big discrepancy between what those schools make and what those Group of Five, and then even lower D1 and D2 and yada yada yada. We don't want to see those schools lose out on their athletic programs, of course. So I think, being able to come up with ways to, obviously emphasize the schools that are going to make more money and be able to pump those ones up, sure. But I mean, you just have to change the level of competition. You've got to section those off. I mean, that's just something I think that may have to be something considered going forward. I don't know.
Power
I
Four
mean,
has to
this.
break off. The Power Four have to break off, and then furthermore, college football has to break away. College football has to be a standalone entity because at this point we are borderline NFL minor leagues. That's really what it comes down to.
In a lot of
Because
ways, yes.
there's
It's fair.
nothing else that feeds the NFL. There's nothing else. Like you have every once in a while a random something come from like overseas who can kick a ball, right? We're not picking linebackers out of, Norwich City, all right?
No.
So it's like I think the thing that makes this the most difficult is football. Because there's no women's equivalent
No.
and no sports equivalent relative to revenue. Because at some point, they're all going to sit around and be like, why are we sharing this revenue again with basketball? Like, at A&M, where we get this much attention, why are we sharing this with baseball? It's just, there's going to be at some point, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this. I think there's going to be a line where football says, you know what? Power Four broke off. We're breaking off from Power Four, and we're going to have our own specific league that has its own revenue sharing. And we're going to go through this whole mess again because now where SEC Network covers both, where's the line drawn?
I gotta be honest, if we end up seeing that occur, I fear for basically any sport that's not football. Because I think what a lot of people don't understand is if you look at an athletics budget, so much of other sports are subsidized by football. because they're not pulling in that revenue. So if we see a world where college football breaks off into basically its own entity, other sports are kind of screwed.
You're not wrong.
I'd hate to see it.
Well, this is fun actually, kind of to go full circle.
Yeah.
We talk about revenue sharing, we talk about these contracts in place. The SEC network and the ACC network and the Big Ten network, they have become such large entities that I feel like we'll almost kind of come full circle on the Title IX thing, be like, you know what? We're still gonna have this. We're gonna need a completely separate revenue, we're gonna need something, SEC's not getting rid of the SEC network. That's bonkers talk.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, there's enough eyes on baseball and basketball, and you just those two sports alone. There's enough eyes on those to where those networks are still relative and irrelevant, excuse me.
Right.
And they tie into being able to help the revenue sharing with the sports not named football. And
Right.
football has to be able to break away, really have its own network, quite frankly. And I think maybe it would be the Power Four football network. And man, I can start writing these down. But
I'll
I
go
have to.
run it. I've got degrees in communications. Let's go.
Well, my thought is that they'd be able to, if they're going to exist as a separate entity, first of all, they're going to have their own board. They're going to flip the bird at the NCAA.
Right.
Like the commissioners will come together with their own sets of rules and regulations, which will be
Right.
probably one, a little bit more common sense, and two, will, I would guess, actually be enforced, which would be refreshing. And then, but I still think there's a sustainability model for the conference networks for revenue sharing for these sports that one allows them to still get paid. These athletes are still getting paid. The reality that they're getting paid less because they're not football, and for football to have its own piece of the pie, not have to complain
Right.
about giving up any shares of it, but it may be a lesser number as we're looking at it, from where we're at. But everybody's going to be happy, and maybe this is where Title IX comes back in. They're like, you can do this, and you can go off and try and break away from the NCAA all you want to. Title IX's a federal level law, so it doesn't matter what organization you start up. You can call it Pop Warner, Power Four, for all I care. But
NFL White.
yeah,
Man.
but that will still, like, Title IX will still exist. So I could
Yeah.
see a world where the conference networks are able to sustain those programs through revenue sharing. Now you get away from the Power Four, they're in deep shit.
Yeah. If anything, the biggest thing I think we may be headed towards, and this is probably going to be the most insane take ever, I see it going more towards a football across the pond model almost. If you look at your highest like institutions and how they're doing in the sports. So let's say your top 30 in the nation, basically being your Champions League, so to speak, and you have your rest of the Premier League being D1, and then you've got, your D2s, D3s. I don't know. I'm just saying, I think that that's kind of where we're headed because some institutions are going to be so much more prepared for this than others.
Well, yeah, maybe some promotion relegation.
I would
Well,
love that. I'd be so here for that.
yeah, but and here's where I think you're going to run into serious issues with this, especially with promotion and relegation,
Sure.
is lest we forget that Texas is the size of France.
Fair.
So we forget about how geographically expansive we are as a country. And so, promoting and relegating, all of a sudden you put a burden for travel on some schools because now instead of being in a regional conference, they're having to fly literally across the states 5 times a year with their team, the 18-wheeler that they're probably gonna have to buy for all the equipment that they got to drive everywhere, and the band and blah 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 blah.
Fair.
And so I think that's where that model probably doesn't work in the states. It's literally because we are so geographically large that
Right.
everybody in London in the Premier League, everything.
Just
It's
a
not
hop
like
skip. Yeah.
it would be like if they were promoted between Bundesliga and the Premier League, right?
That's
And
fair.
now all of a sudden, Southampton has to travel to Munich, like, and you know what I'm saying? So I think that's what will ultimately keep us from that ever happening. Not to mention the infrastructure of these schools. Like, you think Texas A&M is going to Is like if we have a bad year, all of a sudden we're going to start playing in the Tulanes of the world and these tiny little stadiums, and we're getting no money out of it. And so,
That's
unfortunately,
fair.
I just don't think that could happen. I mean, I could be wrong, but
You did say something, though, that I have a question about because of the way that the conferences are technically aligned as of this moment.
yeah, no,
Aren't we
Southampton is going
already
to be fine.
seeing some schools flying from like pretty hefty hop, skip, and a jump among time zones
Yeah, but
already.
these are Power Four schools.
Fair.
I'm talking about relegating between Power Four, G5.
That's
It's
fair.
Well, and I think in reality, if you do go to this Power Four model where it's just all of them up top, I think what you'll see is more or less maybe a redistribution of teams based on geography, just to, for practicality's sake. I mean,
I could see that.
there's no reason that USC, Washington, Oregon, and all those cats are not playing the Arizona States and the Utahs and the whoevers of the world on the West Coast. It just makes sense logistically.
True.
You don't like a Thursday night volleyball game where USC has to go to New Jersey to play Rutgers?
Absolutely not. I think it's the stupidest thing that has come out of this whole conference realignment. At least when A&M moved, we were at least within a geographic range to say, okay, we could do the Southeast. Yeah, it's going to be more of a
Right.
stretch than it was for the Big 12, and we had the resources to do it. But the fact that, the first weird one for me was like West Virginia coming to the Big 12. That one
Yeah.
just did not make a lot of sense to me. And little did I know, that was going to be the least of them.
Yo, yeah, now it seems completely normal.
Yeah, it's insanity, right? Like, there's very few conferences these days that are actually geographically relevant to each other. Your name means nothing, with the exception of maybe the SEC.
Yeah, like SMU and the ACC. Yeah, you know
Stupid.
what?
Like Atlantic
It's
Coast, Coastal City, Dallas,
Well, I will say one thing. There's probably a lot of SMU grads that own a ton of property on the Atlantic Coast.
You're
So,
not wrong.
yeah, there's some money coming out of SMU.
I mean, that's been going on for ages. I mean, for the love of God, they made an ESPN 30 for 30 about it.
Yeah, so good. So good.
So good. If you haven't seen Pony Excess, you absolutely should.
Yes.
But hey, a quick update, y'all. So I did catch up
I
on
saw the McNeese alert.
McNeese
Your
pulled it
first
out.
4-5 of the year.
Oh, ho, ho.
Pulled it out by the skin of their teeth. Clemson came roaring back. Their second half, they outscored them 54 to 38, and they still lost by two. Oh, so close.
I'm just psyched that my bracket isn't completely busted already because I don't know bouncy ball as well as I would like to.
Which is probably why your bracket will go do really well. I did
Exactly.
two of my brackets. What I did is I just went straight down the bracket on each side. I did one and I had Megan pick which color she liked better. And one I did which mascot would win in a fight.
I
Both
love
of
that.
those brackets are perfect right now.
That
I
is
don't feel like a
fantastic.
cowboy wins against a tiger outside of having his gun and ready to go.
I love that mentality for March
Yeah.
Madness brackets.
That's pretty
That's
great.
beautiful.
That's pretty
He's
darn
like, cowboys can hunt. I was like, good point.
fair enough. Yeah.
good job out kicking your coverage on that one, Army. Good job.
Well, so far I was well, I haven't updated since the Clemson upset. That might trash all my brackets, quite frankly. I'm not sure. I know I picked some 12 fives because coming into this podcast, so I did eight brackets. You do 25 max on the ESPN app. I did eight and just got really sick of it, so I stopped. So eight's where I landed. Coming into this, I was 4 for 4 or 4-4. I had four perfect brackets and four I had missed one on. I bet you I am toast though now.
It's just the first day, you know. Can
I
always
still got one perfect bracket left. And you know which bracket that is?
the
Guess
one.
who I picked to win the national championship in that bracket?
We'll see.
The good guys.
Fingers crossed.
A good guys.
Hey, let's hope that holds.
Correct.
As we tend to wrap up this podcast, we like to ask what everybody's kind of up to this weekend. I know y'all are, but we'll get into it a little bit. So, what are the plans for the weekend, y'all?
I believe it's supposed to be a beautiful weekend. You'll watch softball. It's March Madness, man. I mean, I've got a couple of client meetings this weekend, but me selling a couple of houses in that neighborhood out in Snook, that newer neighborhood out in Snook. I'm going to do some listing consultations for that. So I've got two properties I'm going to look at and got some dirt coming up out around between Caldwell and Rockdale. So I'm staying busy. Still working on my big projects. Honestly, it's just enjoying the weather. This has been so perfect lately. Minus the wind. The wind was a bit much. I had to put the umbrella down for a couple of days. But
Correct.
yeah, just chugging along and working, man. Obviously, I'll let Josh say what we're doing on Saturday night. But But yeah, or you could say what we're doing on Saturday night.
we'll
But
leave. We'll go ahead and lead into it, right? So first and
yeah.
foremost, I'm heading out to Luckenbach tomorrow. We were a little worried about the wildfires out there, and prayers for our friends out near Fredericksburg. That's a terrible situation. 10,000 acres burned, largely in the wine fields. So if you know anybody out there in Fredericksburg, check on them, make sure they're doing all right. But yeah, we'll be heading out that direction to go support those folks, but play a good show over at Luckenbach. We've already pre-sold a ton of tickets, probably looking at a sellout this weekend, which would be awesome for our first time playing there. Then we turn around, and on Saturday, we're headed out to the Madison County Fair, John's hometown.
Correct. I
And,
get to go home this weekend, boys.
do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
I mean, yeah, but we choose to ignore that part.
But we'll be rocking and rolling out there at Madison County Fair, playing after the rodeo is over. Got a headline show that night, so it should be a lot of fun. And yes, your song is in the lineup, so enjoy it. And for those of you who don't know the song, it's "Girl, You Ought To."
Yes.
That's one of ours. I've been fighting for us to get it back in the set. I'm glad it's in there. I think it's a good fit, and it's fairly early on too, so you'll hear it pretty quick. So that's nice.
I don't think you understand how many times I have drunkenly like belted that song at the top of my guts on Roy's back porch.
Well, now you get to do it in person in front of, however many people are going to be hanging out there at the Madison County Fair. So that'll be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a
Nice
lot of
deal.
my family in town, which is really exciting. And if everything goes right, a lot of our College Station family is going to get to meet my actual family. So we'll see how that goes.
And
I gotta
quick.
be honest, you know what I heard? She only likes you when she only likes you when she's drunk. That's what I heard.
Fair enough. My girlfriend will be in town as well. She's coming up and then heading back over in to Bryan after the show. So, yeah, plenty of meetups and good times ahead, heading into the Madison County Fair. Looking forward to that this weekend. And then, yeah, we're rocking and rolling after that down to New Caney. We'll touch on that later. But yeah, be sure to follow us all on the socials. Be sure to plug yourself, Jonna. But yes, I am Rob the Slapper on both Instagram as well as X, Roy May 15 on X, Junior on Instagram. And Jonna, what are your socials?
I'm easy. I'm the Jonna Lee 18 on Insta and on Twitter. So
Cool.
come say hey
Yeah, and
or
be
come
sure.
say howdy. There we go.
Yeah, go say howdy. Make sure you guys do catch up with us on all of our socials as well here at the Red Ass Podcast. Be sure to like, share, subscribe on YouTube, leave a comment, and all that fun stuff because, it shows us that we're doing something right, that you're enjoying the content. And
Ooh, can I add a plug for you guys here and
sure.
for myself as well, where I get a second invite to come hang out with you
Sure.
too? If
Okay.
you have questions about NIL slash rev share that we didn't hit on that you think need to get hit on, I'm happy to sit and basically nerd out and stand on my soapbox for a half hour. So please give me the opportunity to do that.
And I'm sure we will
Thanks again.
re-highlight all that once the policies actually get into place and we see what the initial impacts will be. So
April 8th's gonna be wild.
I'll also tell you that no matter how much you think you know about NIL, 99.9% of the people out there don't know what Jonna knows in her pinky finger, and she's a small little person, so that is a small little pinky.
It's not
But
that small. Okay, I see it now. Fine, whatever.
But yeah, and again, another thing that I'll say, you don't have to wait until we post asking for questions. If you have questions throughout the week, feel free to send them into
Yes.
Rats Podcast. You can send them to Rob, you can send them to me, you can DM us. X is probably the best place to do it, but Insta works for me too.
Got questions on both, so we're
If you're old, I guess you can send it in on Facebook Messenger. But yeah, no,
sorry,
X or
Tyler.
Instagram.
We know you did that.
Yeah, if you guys have questions, though, just kind of as things are going, but please nothing emotional. Like in the bottom of the third, like please don't ask me why Jay swung at a breaking ball on 3-0 count. Like we're not answering these questions.
We can't answer those questions because we don't know.
Let me
But
put that in my
also,
reminders to text you that just to irritate the heck out of you. Oof,
feel
I'm
free
excited.
to, again, remember Rob gives what, voice and bass lessons or just
Yes,
bass lessons?
voice and bass lessons over at Music Lessons 101. We are picking up a little bit. And plus, summertime's when things really start to cool off a little bit because a lot of my students are going back home But maybe if you're local in town and you're wanting to get some voice lessons done, you wanted to get some bass lessons in, by all means, holler at your boy. I'm more than happy to give you some pointers.
Yeah.
All that good
And
stuff.
you're always free to send me questions in my DMs about food and cooking. I'll always take
Oh,
them.
and real estate too. You know, he'll help you out with that.
Well, yeah. More of you. I feel like Beetlejuice. Man, if you want to buy, you're looking to buy some property. Come on down.
Just don't say Roy May 3 times. He'll appear in your house, and it's no good. It's already happened here. I'm not a fan. It's not a fan.
Then I have to Uber back at the whole thing.
Whole thing. Well, I am Rob White. This is Roy May and Jonna Lee. This was the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the ever living hell out of Vandy. Beat the hell out of Alabama. Beat the hell out of Yale. Gig 'em. And we'll see y'all next time.